Blog Talk Radio. Hello, I'm God's Gumshoe. Welcome to Spirit Quest. We started this series of episodes with the expression that goes something like this. If life is a journey, then it's a good idea to stop, pause, decompress, relax for a moment, and take a look at the map. Where have I been? Where am I now? Where am I going? Today, I invite you to join us as we pause to look at this map and allow the words of the poet, the scribe, and the many moods of music to assist us in our investigation of another dimension, the spiritual dimension. Our investigation so far has led us to the understanding that we are a human being sharing the human experience with a spiritual being, a fragment of the pure creative energy source of all of creation. This fragment is what science calls the first cause, philosophy the prime mover. Religion refers to it by God or goddess, by many names. But it has come to travel with you and with me, and with a goal of influencing you enough to want to learn its ways and travel with it for the rest of the journey to paradise. For those who say yes to this spiritual invitation, we ask this presence within us, make me an instrument of thy peace. Teach me to understand the language of spirit. And we understand that the language of spirit is harmony, the finite, in step with the infinite, time creatures marching to the rhythm of eternity. This is the time in our program where we like to take a few minutes just to relax, to breathe into that inner part of us, to feel the rhythm of the breath, and to let go of all those busy thoughts that are present within us and connect with this moment in the heart. This is where we come to recharge, to rejuvenate. And here we use the metaphor of our garden, the garden of our soul. And so I invite you just to allow that inward glance to move you towards that place where we fine-tune the instrument of self, the instrument of mind energy, to that sweet, sweet spirit energy of the infinite. And where we fine-tune that self to the eternal presence of the divine parent that is here within us. Feel that spirit rising in you as you reflect upon the unique expression that is you. Settle into that stream of your own soul consciousness as it flows from that deep place of your soul up through the sweet spirit into conscious recognition. Today we're talking about life purpose. And so we just gently ask, what is mine to do here, now? What is it that is mine to be? What is calling to your heart, to your mind, to your soul? Allow this to come into your heart, into your mind, into your soul. Allow Spirit to bring that to you as intention. We have within us intention, which is the mindful energy system. But we have also within us the deep motivation, which is that unity-based spirit presence that is within us. It's why we do what we do, here and now in this world. And so we listen to the words of the poet, the artist, the musician, Trina Brunk, who writes, "I was born to live in these times, to love straight in the face of fear, watch it fade and disappear. To walk upon these coals and feel fire singing through my soul. These are the times of miracles, the days that blow my mind. The days I stop protecting and let loose with loving kind. I was born to move between the worlds, to bring to earth these precious pearls from oceans beyond time and space. I was born to live in this holy place." So this day we come to the heart and the soul and the spirit that is within us. That sweet, sweet Mother Spirit that gives us mind and mind energy with which to live in this world, to live in this time, to be present here as love, revealing itself through me. And so we say thank you, thank you, thank you, sweet, sweet Mother, Father, God. Amen. And now to the words of the scribe. From the Urantia book in paper 112, we read, "What an adventure! What a romance! A gigantic creation to be administered by the children of the Supreme. These personalized and humanized spirits, these eternalized mortals, these mysterious combinations and eternal associations of the highest known manifestation of the essence of the first source and center, and the lowest form of intelligent life capable of comprehending and attaining the universal parent. We conceive that such amalgamated beings, such partnerships of creator and creature, will become superb rulers, matchless administrators, and understanding and sympathetic directors of any and all forms of intelligent life which may come into existence throughout these future universes of the first outer space level. True it is, you mortals are of earthly animal origin. Your frame is indeed dust. But if you will, if you actually will, if you really desire, then surely the heritage of the ages is yours, and you shall someday serve throughout the universes in your true characters, children of the Supreme God of Experience, and the divine sons and daughters of the Paradise Father of all personalities." What an adventure! What a romance! And so we're learning to play the symphony of the cosmos. And on this planet, it's called building a world that works in seven keys. So far, we've talked about three of those keys. The importance of learning who we are, to know thyself, to know that we have a spiritual presence within us, a divine being within us, guiding us as the pilot of our ship. We are the captain. The pilot resides in the superconscious mind within us, guiding us, directing us. And so we ask the pilot, where are we going? Where should we go? How should we do it? The second key is to have a sense of a personal fulfillment, that we are a child of the universe and we have a right to be here. And with that right comes a responsibility to grow and be all that we can be. And our first step is the third set of keys that we learn. Goals. But not just goals. Worthy goals. Worthy goals and ideals. What are those? Today, we'll pause, look at the map, reflect on where we've been, what results we've created so far, and where we're going. We can map the future. We map the future with goals, just as the Olympic athletes do. So today, we look at our ideals and our values and see where they will lead us. When we look at the map of where we've been, oftentimes we can see that we have in fact acted as our own worst enemy and blocking our good. We build up walls around us to protect us. The fear-based animal mind builds up walls to protect us from pain and suffering, from dread and anxiety, and from fear. In many ways, this is an attempt to control the environment around us so that we can control the amount of pain and suffering. What we begin to understand is that as we step into the spiritual dimension, we need to drop these walls. We need to let these walls fall. Because when we do, what arrives and what shows up is our good, is the good that is meant for us.
Some walls are made of stone, sometimes we build our own. Some walls stand for years, and some wash away with tears. Some walls are lined with gold, where some hearts stay safe and cold. Some walls are made of doubt, holding in and keeping out. If there's any hope for love at all, some walls must fall. Some walls are built on pride, some keep the child inside. Some walls are made in fear, that love let go will disappear. If there's any hope for love at all,
the map of the past, and we see the results that we created, and we begin to evaluate them, we see that we had motivations and ideals and values that worked. Some worked, some did not. Some just seemed to have gotten us into trouble. But others, when we connect the dots of our life, we see that others worked quite well. And so we want to keep those values and those ideals, those motivations and those intentions. And those ones that did not work, we want to change. The ancients used the word repent, which actually just meant to change your mind. And by changing your mind, you change your ways. And so we want to look at our future and we want to dream bigger dreams. We want to move those motivations and intentions that did not work and replace them with a bigger dream.
dream, the impossible dream, to find the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, and to love pure and cheap from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is not where to follow the star. Ooh, no matter how hopeless, to be willing to march into hell for that heavenly God. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious plan, that my heart and calm when I'm laid to my rest, and the world will be better for this. Oh, that one man scorned and covered with scars,
sometimes it seems like an impossible dream to even take a moment to think about the ideals and motivations, our intentions and our values that are mentioned in this piece of music. Your values, whatever they are the compass that is guiding you to your ultimate destiny. If we are unclear of our personal values and intentions and ideas, then we have a hazy compass. And how can we possibly shepherd in our future with a hazy compass? How can the pilot that is within guide the captain of the ship if the compass is hazy, foggy, can't be seen? What we see is that most people plan more for a two-week vacation than they plan for their whole life. Now, if we were going on a vacation, we would take certain things with us. We would require certain tools, suitcase, notebooks, passport, money. These are all of the things that we would take on our trip with us. And so at this stage, we want to ask, what are the tools that I need in order to improve the human experience of the spiritual journey? Today, we want to look at the Buddhist perspective. The Buddhists have what they call the Eightfold Path. It is a set of tools that, when used, improve the quality of life and reduce pain and suffering, as well as clear the mental perspective so that the pilot may speak to the captain. These are eight tools that we would identify as: number one, right view, or ideal view, ideal perspective, outlook, ideal understanding. Right view is the beginning of the path, and it simply means to see and to understand things as they really are, and to realize the reality of the spiritual universe, that the material is a shadow of the spiritual, to see things the way the angels see them, to see yourself the way God sees you. The second of the wisdom tools is right intention, right thought, right resolve, right aspiration. While right view refers to the cognitive aspect of wisdom, right intention refers to the volitional aspect, the choices and the decisions, the kind of mental energy that controls our action. Right intention can be described as a commitment to ethical and mental self-improvement. The next three tools are the ethical conduct. The first one is right speech, or ideal speech. It is the first principle of the ethical conduct. The importance of speech in the context of these ethics is obvious. Words can break or save lives, make enemies or friends, start wars, or create peace. Positively phrased, this means to tell the truth, to speak friendly, warm, and gently, and to talk only when is necessary. My mother used to say, if you haven't anything positive to say, don't say anything at all. The second of the ethical conducts is right action. It involves the body as a natural means of expression, as it refers to the deeds that involve bodily actions. Unwholesome actions lead to unsound states of mind, while wholesome actions lead to sound states of mind. Positively formulated, right action means to act kindly and compassionately, to be honest and to respect the belongings of others, and to keep sexual relationships harmless to others. The third of the ethical conducts is right livelihood. Right livelihood means that one should earn one's living in a righteous way, and that wealth should be gained legally and peacefully. To obtain wealth through rightful means means being honest, ethical in business dealings, not to cheat, lie, steal, or otherwise create disharmony. The last three are the mental developments: right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. Right effort can be seen as a prerequisite for all of the other principles on the path. For without effort, which is in itself an act of will, nothing can be achieved. Whereas misguided effort detracts the mind from the task, and confusion will be the consequence. Mental energy is the force behind right effort, and it can occur in either wholesome or unwholesome ways.
The same type of energy that fuels desire, envy, aggression, violence, and all of these other side effects can also fuel self-discipline, honesty, benevolence, kindness, generosity, and will generate peace and joy. Right mindfulness, or ideal mindfulness, guards to right memory, right awareness, and right attention. What we put our attention on grows. If we concentrate on the negative, that's what grows. If we concentrate on the positive, that's what grows. And so the last principle of right concentration refers to the development of the mental force that occurs in natural consciousness and applies elevated levels of consciousness and concentration to everyday situations, to higher thoughts, the superconscious thoughts that are within us that we've been discussing, the divine thoughts. When you do, you will always know a divine thought. How? How will you know if it's a divine thought? Easy. It's perfect solution for everyone involved, although you may not think so at the moment. And so, the Eightfold Noble Path of right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration are the ideals that we want to bring in to our consciousness as we begin to work on our goals and our objectives and our mission and our purpose. As we begin to grow in the spiritual path, we begin to understand that all of these tools coalesce in the three main supreme values of truth, beauty, and goodness. And that these three values coalesce in themselves in the ultimate value, which is God. God is love.
I've never been to heaven. I don't know where it's found. Some say high above the clouds, some say all around. I've never seen the King of Kings or stood before his throne. My mind is full of questions, but my heart has always known. God is love, God is love. More than this I cannot know, higher than this I cannot go. God is love, God is love. If it's all I
God is love. God is the North Star to our compass, and more than this we cannot know, and higher than this we cannot go, is to know that God is our polar star. And if this is all that we ever learn in life, it's all we need to know. Thank you. Join us again next week as we continue our investigation into another dimension, the spiritual dimension, as we learn to play the cosmic symphony of building a world that works, one person at a time. God bless you, and know that the light of God surrounds you, and the love of God enfolds you. The power of God protects you, and the presence of God watches over you. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.